after. I mean, last week I gave you the homework assignment, and I am sure you guys rushed home. You're like, what is 22 all about? And you're like, I've got to hear this. And can I get a tissue? I'm not sick, I promise. I just need a tissue. Thank you, Noah. Appreciate that. All right, here we go. All right. Nobody's going to shake my hand afterwards now. All right, so, but as we come to chapter 22, I mean, how many of you, when you read that chapter, you were just like, whoa, this is amazing. Okay, one of you, good, okay. I'm like, man, this is like the climatic chapter of Abraham's life. Chapter 22 is it all comes to a pinnacle. Everything that God has been doing in this man's life, as we have been studying and looking at his life, this is it. And it's so much so that even as we get to verse 20 in this chapter, we realize very quickly that we are beginning that epilogue of the end of his life and beginning to look to the narrative of the life of Isaac. And it's a wonderful transition, but as we come to this, we're looking at everything just coming to a point. I mean, think about what God has done in Abraham's journey up until this point. I mean, we've been journeying with this man for several months now. And Abraham is called the father of the faithful, and rightfully so. And if you haven't seen it, you will see it today. But as we come, we realize that from the very beginning, back in Genesis 12, that God called Abraham. And he called Abraham to leave something behind. To leave his family, his land, and everything he knew, to give up the past. And God may be calling some of you today to give up the past. And that's hard, isn't it? It was hard for Abraham. We saw how he would hold on to different things. We have seen continually, faithfully, this God that Abraham is serving, and how faithful God is, even when Abraham is not. And I don't know about you, but that encourages me that we have a faithful God that way. And look at this as we look through this. God has blessed Abraham. We saw that from the very beginning. And God has been faithful with his blessings and kept his promise. As God has been with him, he has gone ahead of Abraham. He has wiped out enemies. We have seen how this God has dealt with evil that is around Abraham. And Abraham has experienced all of this. He has seen this of this God that he serves. I mean, it's a wonderful thing. And you think about where he's come from. And then you look at his life. And even in his old age, God is faithful to his promise and brings the son of promise, Isaac. Even though Abraham made his mistakes and sinned and doubted, God was faithful. And God has been faithful to give this man, Abraham, rest in the land that he promised to him. He is blessed abundantly and richly as Abraham has sojourned in this land. And as verse 1 states of chapter 22, it says, now it came about after these things. After these things comes chapter 22. After these things, God is going to test Abraham. Like, what has he been doing up to this time? Preparing. And I wonder what God is preparing you for. I wonder what God is preparing me for. But it was after these things that we see chapter 22. Remember with me back to chapter 12. Verse 1, God says, now the Lord said to Abram,
go from your country and from your relatives and from your father's house to the land which I will show you. God is calling Abraham to give up the past. And as we begin chapter 22, as we look at this, God is asking Abraham to give up his future. Are you willing to give God your past? Are you willing to give God your future? Join me in reading as we look at chapter 22. I'm going to read the first 19 verses. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take now your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son. And he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two men walked on together. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, My father. He said, Here I am, my son. He said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. Then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. On top of the wood, Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! That gets your attention, huh? And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Then Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up as a burnt offering in place of his son. Abraham called the name of the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it will be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of your enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived in Beersheba. I would also like to encourage you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as we see the perspective from the other side of the cross, as these verses pertain to our passage today. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 17, says this, By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, "In Isaac your descendants shall be called." He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. What is it that, what is it that you hold precious? Think about that for just a moment. What is it in your life that you hold dear? You don't want to hold, let go of. Maybe I should say, who is it? Sometimes it's a what, sometimes it's a who. What or who are you holding on to so preciously that you won't let go? What is it in the past that you're holding on to that's really hard to let go of? As you look to the days ahead, what is it you're holding on to and don't want to just give up before God? There are things in our life that we hold very dear and precious. And God, there are times when God looks and says, so to speak, "I want you to lay that on the altar." What is it? What is it you're struggling letting go? Who is it that you're having trouble letting go before God? See, when we hold on, there's a sense of control, isn't there? We feel like we have some control of it as long as we hold on to it, as long as we grasp it within our palms. And God is saying, open, let me have that. And we hold on to it, we're like, no, God. We don't want to relent and give up that control. It's difficult, isn't it? I think it's difficult because from a very early age, we learn the phrase, mine. That's mine. How many of you have ever worked in the nursery here? I want to see your hands. Raise them nice and tall. First of all, thank you very much for that ministry. The ministry of allowing parents to have a moment to be fed spiritually, to be around other adults. That is a wonderful ministry, so thank you. But I would venture to say that even in a church nursery, we see little kids go, mine! And as soon as they have it, they see something else and they run over, mine! Mine! And they want to hold on to it. And pretty soon this kid has all these toys, mine. And it's cute when it's a little, you know, 1.5-year-old or something, and they're trying to hold all of this. We laugh, we chuckle. But you know what? We learn it young, don't we? We learn to hold on to those things that we feel are mine. And God's saying, really? I want you to give it to me. What in your life is God asking for? Is it past hurts? Because each one in here this morning has past hurts, anger, difficulties that we have dealt with. We want, there may be forgiveness that we're holding on to. We don't want to give it up. Or guilt. What is it that you're holding on to? What's yours that God is saying, give to me? Is it a loved one? Is it a child or a grandchild that God is saying, just give them to me? Is it a parent or a grandparent? We hold so tight. And God's saying, give them to me. Is it your possessions? Your money? Are those the things in which you're in your life that you hold on so precious, so dear? It's mine. For some here, it may be future decisions that lie on the horizon. Decisions that you know you have to make, and you are holding on to them rather than just freely giving your future to God, allowing God to have control in that area. You hold on to it. Is it a job or finances? Or maybe it's a little more abstract, a little harder to grasp, but maybe it's something like a dream. We hold on to dreams tightly, don't we? The plans that we want, we have. Goals or aspirations, we hold on to them with a clenched fist. And God says, lay them on the altar. I've been there numerous times in my life, in numerous ways. In fact, in each and every one of these. And God says, give it to me. Lay it on the altar. What are you calling mine? That God's saying, just give it. Give it to me. You see, Isaac was precious to Abraham. Understandably so, but did you notice how God even draws out just how precious he knows Isaac is to Abraham. Look at verse 2. He said, take now your son. And then he says again, your only son. Well, not only your son, but your only son. And then he goes and he expresses even how much more so this is precious to Abraham. And he says, whom you love, Isaac. And he says his name. His name means laughter. Take this boy and offer him to me. Make no mistake, church. Abraham loves this boy. He is the son of promise. He is the son of his old age. And he's looking at Isaac and he's listening to God. Some of you probably read that part and you probably just jumped out of your seat. You were so excited, weren't you? I mean, did you notice? Did you notice what we just read? It is the very first time in the scriptures that love is ever mentioned. All of you are going, well, yeah, we knew that, Pastor Jed. I mean, of course, yeah. I mean, we've been reading Genesis with you. We noticed that too, right? I didn't notice that for a long time, but when I saw that, I'm like, no, it couldn't be. And I looked through. Sure enough, love is not mentioned in the scriptures until here. This is the first time in scripture love is mentioned. The first time in the Old Testament love is mentioned. Agapeo. I mean, this is the deepest, most intimate form of love that you can have. And it's mentioned between a father and a son. The first time God mentions love in the scriptures is between a father and the son. Fast forward, agapeo. The first time love is mentioned in the New Testament, you guessed it, is between a father and his son. Turn with me to Matthew. Matthew chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Look at what it says. After being baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending as a dove and lighting on him. And behold, a voice out of the heavens said, "This is my beloved Son, my agapeo Son, in whom I am well pleased." The first time we see it in the New Testament is between the Heavenly Father and His Son. This boy I love. What's amazing to me is God makes it a point to express his love for the Son. And just like Abraham's love for Isaac, God had a love for his Son, Jesus Christ. I gave you the assignment to read John 3. In John 3:16, we see this. For God so loved, agapeo, the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God had agapeo love for his Son. And when he looked at the world, you and me, he had agapeo love for us. So much so that he would give that Son that he loved for you and me. Agapeo. I don't understand that kind of love. God took what was precious to him, his Son, his only Son, and he gave him for something else he held precious. You and me. Let that sink in for just a moment. When we look at this passage in Genesis, you and I should respond as Abraham did, in faith and in obedience. It's easy to read a passage like chapter 22, to read through it very quickly and go, "Wow, what a blessing. God spared Isaac. God provided a lamb," and keep reading. When you read chapter 22 this last week, did you allow your heart to engage with Abraham's heart and put yourself in his sandals? Did you allow yourself to do that? Did you look at what he was going through? This test that he was about to face. Remember, Abraham had not read Hebrews chapter 11.
Abraham had not read Genesis 22. He was living it. Think about that. You and I get the wonderful pleasure of seeing God commend him throughout Scripture and saying he was a man of faith. We read Hebrews and we go, oh, what an amazing man. And he was. But he was living it.
Remember, this is the pinnacle. God called Abraham. First response, he had finally learned. He goes, here I am. God's calling. God's wanting me. Here I am. That's a hard thing to do in life, isn't it? Jed, hold on, God. I have some things here. Can you wait? God, I have some plans here. Can you hold on? God, you're not going to ask me something hard right now. Life is really busy and difficult, right? Jed, here I am. That should be our response. And it was Abraham's response here. Now remember, we've gone through his life. That was not always his response. In fact, God was probably trying to call and he just tuned him out. Parents know what that's like. But here, and I love what we read in verse 18, because you have obeyed my voice. Abraham had learned to hear the voice of God, to hear what God was telling him and obey. That is the truest picture of faith that there is. God says it and we obey. And Abraham had finally learned. Don't be discouraged. He's over 100 years old now. It took him a while. You have time. Some of you, not so much, but you know, you have time. And did you notice what God said? Abraham says, here I am. And God's instruction is, take, go, I will tell you. Take your son, go to where I'm going to tell you, and I'll tell you along the way. And Abraham, you know, originally Abraham would have gone, you know, God, let's have a discussion about this. Let's try to figure this out. God, I'd really like to know some more information here. But did you notice Abraham's response? First of all, he rose early. Not only is he going to obey, he's going to obey immediately. He rose early. He saddles the donkey. He cuts the firewood. Can you imagine the heart of Abraham with every split of the axe as he's getting that wood prepared? Thinking about what that wood is for. And he arises and he goes. Obedience. What's interesting in this dialogue here is the absence of many words. Abraham had learned. He wasn't debating with God. He wasn't trying to figure this out before God wanted. He faithfully followed God. Besides, I don't know about you, but when God has put a task before me that weighs heavy on my heart and my soul, words are few. As a pastor, I've walked through many who go through those trials, those tests, those difficult times. And words are few. Let me encourage you, if you walk with someone through those times, be quiet. Listen. Be there, but be silent. Don't think you have to come up with words. I don't know of any words that would have made Abraham feel better in this situation. Do you? Other than God saying, okay, you're good. It's interesting, they ride the donkey up to the hill.
So many pictures. As Hebrews says, a type. He gets there, and Abraham takes the wood that he prepared, and he places it on Isaac's back. As Isaac carries it up the hill, he says something to his men. Did you catch it? The lad and I are going up there, and we will worship, and we will return. I love that. And we see a glimpse of why he said that in Hebrews. He knows what he must do, but he has this amazing faith in God. God has kept his word. It doesn't matter if he doesn't understand it. God has kept his word up to this point, and God says, I'm going to bless through Isaac. So he said, you know what? God will figure that out. There are situations in our lives that we just have to give to God and say, he's going to figure it out. Because you and I can't. We don't know exactly how old he was, Isaac was, but he was old enough to carry the wood. He's not a small boy anymore. He probably could have struggled, fought a 100-year-old man off when it came time to be bound, but he didn't. Look at the relationship between that father and that son. Absolute trust. Dad, where's the lamb? Isaac been part of many of these sacrifices. Where's the lamb? God will provide. Okay. Keep walking. Here we come. Love it. You know, Abraham laid on that altar that which was most precious to him. I have no doubt, being a father myself, that Abraham would have rather placed himself on the altar. But he trusted God enough to lay his son. I cannot fathom what must have been going on in Abraham's heart. I can try, but I can't fathom it. There was one that could. As God walked step by step, he knew. God knew how Abraham felt. God knew what it was like to watch his son ride a donkey on way to be sacrificed. God knew how it felt to prepare the wood that would be placed on his son's back as he carried it up Mount Calvary. God knew what it felt like to see your son bound to the place of sacrifice. As his son was bound with nails. And his son trusted the Father explicitly. Not my will, Jesus said, but yours be done. And God, knowing that his son would rise 3 days later, did not make any of the heartache, the anguish of the beating of a father's heart hurt any less. as he watched his son be the sacrifice. The difference is with Abraham, God said, stop! I will provide an alternative. I will provide a substitute. Look, there it is. But as God watched his son sacrificed on that cross, he had already said stop to the debt that you and I deserved. And he said, I will provide a substitute, my son. Abraham passed the test. God knew where Abraham's heart was, but you know what? Abraham didn't know fully till that moment. Isaac did not understand the faith, the extent of his father's faith in this amazing God until that moment. And you and I would never see the depth of Abraham's faith in this wonderful, amazing God that we sing so melodiously. No, is that a word? Just eloquently. There we go. How great is our God. We sing it, but do you really think about how what you are saying and why? He is great because of who he is and what he has done. Abraham had learned to trust God fully. God called him to it and he said, here I am, without question. Oh, that you and I could live our life to trust God completely. So I close with this. Faith. Abraham is called the father of the faithful. It requires faith. You know why? Because we don't see Hebrews 11. We don't see the end of chapter 22. We live this life and God calls us to follow him. We look at what his son did. We look at all the sin that we carry. We look at what is inside. And you know what? Only you know it and I know what's inside in God. And we look at it and we say, God, this is mine. This is my sin. It's my filth. I don't want to put that on you. God says, give it to me. I agape you so much. I gave my agapeo son for you. But we hold on to it and we say, it's mine. I will take care of it. I will be the one to rectify this. I will take care of it. I will do it. And God says, you can't. You need that substitute. You need my son. So often I want control of my life. I want control of my circumstances. I want control around me. And God's saying, Jed, just lay it on the altar. There are things he's given back in a beautiful way. And there are things he has taken and he has replaced it just wonderfully through his word, through his son, through his love and the relationship. I don't know what you are holding on to this morning. If it is your sin, I pray that you lay that at the altar of the foot of the cross. If you have done that and you have that relationship, God says, I want to take you further. I want to build this relationship. I want you to be a man or a woman of faith. Let go. I want to close in this passage and then I'll pray. Because as we approach this, we have to understand. We have to relinquish that control. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is a wonderful passage. And for the believer, verse 10 is just amazing. Look at it with me. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And what a gift it is. Not as a result of works. So you and I can't boast. And say, look what I did. And holding on to it. For we are his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. That's a walk of faith. That is a walk of letting go and letting God. And that is my prayer for each of you today. Let's pray. God, I cannot fathom your love. I cannot fathom what you did in giving us your Son that you loved. But God, I thank you. I thank you that you loved me. You loved each one here. You loved each one listening enough that you would give up your Son. You would allow yourself the heartache of a father watching his son be the substitute for a sinful world. So God, we say thank you. My prayer this morning, God, is if any are here who do not have that relationship, who have not received that free gift, God, today work in their hearts. Draw them to you in a powerful way. Allow them to let go of that sin that binds them and lay it at the foot of the cross. God, for we, your children, may we be willing to let go and let you, to be the son or daughter that trusts you explicitly, no matter what you ask. Because, God, we know that you love us. God, I ask that your word would work in the hearts of people. In Jesus' name, amen.
The words of our closing hymn.